What year are we talking about here, and what did people use the computers at the People's Center for? What kind of computing were these radical Maoists and students interested in?
I don't know that there were many radicals and Maoists at the operating at the People's Computer Center. I think it was more just geeks of all ages. Mark LeBrun had dropped out of Woodside High School and hung around People's Computer Center, did programming. Kids would come in and just play with the computers and learn how to do computer programs, learn BASIC, learn how to program a computer, get it to do things. Wow, this was really flashy stuff. It was, if you will, learning for its own sake. What a novel idea. Mark LeBrun, incidentally, later went on to be one of the key members of the Macintosh team with Apple, and after that went up and joined Autodesk. Here's a high school dropout who is phenomenally competent. And there were a lot of those kinds of kids floating around at that time in those places. Mark Peratt was another one who was a dropped out kid who was really negative, and he got into the Free University and it opened doors for him. And he later became, I think, a director of one of the, not Aspen Institute, but one of the, or maybe it was Aspen Institute. Later joined Apple, then went on to create several other companies. There were a whole bunch of people who were, in one way or another, alienated, kids and adults, alienated from the school systems that existed and or the 50s society that was leaking into the 60s, and they finally got old enough to reject it and rebel and turned everything upside down. And these are the boomers. And some of us who were slightly pre-boomers, as well as folks like John McCarthy, who's a slightly way pre-boomer.
So you mentioned Larry Tesler before. You and he worked together a great deal in the organization of the Free University. While you two were working on the Free University course catalog using pots of glue and scissors, you and Tesler had an epiphany that what you really needed was word processing software.
I think that was really much more Larry's idea. I don't recall me thinking about it other than I knew about a text editor because I was using one in programming. And what we were doing was we were preparing the monthly newsletters, which were sometimes almost magazines, as well as preparing the quarterly catalogs of the Mid-Peninsula Free University. Palo Alto Free University became Mid-Peninsula Free University and ballooned in number of students. I think at our peak we probably had 1,500 students, which is big for a radical credit-free university offering all sorts of courses. But to get back to your question, if I can stumble back to it, we were producing all of these publications and we were using what was called an executive Selectric typewriter, which was an IBM rotating ball typewriter that used slightly proportional spacing, and it was a terrible tool to use. Later on, we moved to an IBM Composer, which was the same kind of technology with even more variable spacing, which meant that any error you made, you had to figure out some way to correct it. You'd finally get the text right and type up a strip of paper, then have to cut it apart and paste it up in what was the standard way of doing publication production at the time, that is, separate strips of paper pasted together to make up a camera-ready page. And Larry looked at this, and he had been working with Doug Engelbart over an augmented human intelligence project at SRI, where the mouse was created, where cording keyboards were created, where two-dimensional text display and editing was created on a CRT, which was all really radical stuff at the time, sort of mind-blowing stuff. Well, he had the experience of dealing with that, and he brought that to this terribly turgid process of publication production in the Free University store, or in the back of the Free U store, and said, there's got to be a better way. And as I understand it from talking to Larry, after the fact. That is what prompted him to dream up the idea of full-page publication layout using a computer. And he later went on to Xerox PARC, Palo Alto Research, Xerox Palo Alto Research Center, and I believe implemented at least portions of that.
In discussing about the Free U and the PCC and all the activities swirling about them, I don't hear you talk about people getting credits or people writing software patents or trying to accumulate resume items to launch their careers. It seems like computing wasn't so much a business, it was more of a passion at that time.
Well, realize, first of all, this was in the late 60s and very early 70s. This was before personal computing came along. A really cheap computer was a $10,000 or $20,000 PDP-8, and most of us couldn't afford it. And when I was chairing the math department at the College of Notre Dame, I think I made $7,300 a year. So $10,000 was big bucks. But computing wasn't what most of us were doing or what most of us were interested in. Some of us did it part-time or full-time as a living, but then we did the free university stuff as a love, if you will. There was an attitude that pervaded much of the 60s and hippiedom and the drug culture, which was a much more pleasant drug culture than it is today, and hippiedom, which is, I contend, was much more pleasant then than it is today, of let us share. It is better to share and lift everyone than to grasp and grab like the straight society did and the suits did. To a large extent, there was a conscious rebellion by these kids who had mostly come up from middle-class and or affluent houses, homes, and didn't need to worry about where their next meal was coming from, to rebel against that traditional society that had raised them and look for something better. There wasn't much concern about creating businesses. I mean, I certainly never thought about it. And I don't know of many who did at the time. Businesses were big corporations. You didn't do little entrepreneurial startups like happened once personal computing came along.